We'll begin with hymn, and this part will be led by brother team. We have some greetings from brother Młynek from France, from brother from Croatia, and they are sending their love. And yesterday, brethren in Kraków had a fellowship, and they are also sending their love. And now, brother Tim will lead with the hymn, and brother Piotr will pray.
Czcigodny Boże i Ojcze nasz,
Father, who are in heaven, we are coming to you one more time, praise your name, give you the glory. We want to thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, for what he has done. And thank you for the blessings that we can be part of. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this week spent here by your word, brotherly fellowship, that we could learn here. Brother taught us. They were consolating us.
Aby te słowa pozostały w naszych sercach, w naszych umysłach, by wzmacniały nasze wiary, by pomagały nam
souls, our heart. May they help us to follow your plan. Bless those last hours of fellowship, that we may praise you with hymns and words. We want to ask you to forgive us our sins, our faults. We want to call upon our Savior. We want to forgive us our sins. And we want to
to your kingdom to come. We
thank you another one
time for this opportunity to be here. And
we are letting ourselves under your guidance,
and we are sending those
thanks
to
your throne in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Braterstwo, czujemy w sercu wdzięczność do naszego Pana Boga za
We feel gratitude to our Lord for those blessed moments. We will have the last part of the convention. Brother Regis Liberda will lead us. And then we will listen to the international choir. Brother Regis, lead our hearts to the throne of our Lord. And the choir will begin. I want to ask you to be quiet because we will be recording. So please be quiet. Stay with us, friends. Our 20th International Convention is coming to an end, and it is up to me to summarize and conclude. This convention has been uncertain for a long time, but it has been able to take place and has allowed all those who wished to take part to do so. Even though COVID discouraged some of those who traditionally come to international conventions, God allowed us to be close to 550 present, not counting those who followed us by connecting on Zoom. Everyone was able to experience this convention with their own feelings, words, joy, or nostalgia. It might surprise you, but for us who came from the west of Europe, we were welcomed by the rain. This is something that is usually a nuisance at the beginning of a convention, when everyone arrives, has to take possession of their rooms and unload their luggage. But for us who have been living for weeks with lack of water, drought, and fires, this much-needed water was like a blessing. And it is indeed a blessing that we have come to this place. There was the reunion. I think we were all happy after 4 years to shake hands or to exchange a hug. In short, to simply meet again. And the fact of seeing with emotion brothers and sisters from Ukraine, a country that is currently suffering from war, takes this year a special character. Also, what a lot of things to tell each other. It must be said that our brothers from Poland have carefully prepared this meeting so that each one of us could feel good, so that each one could listen, speak, pray, sing, praise God, and exchange with the others in a magnificent setting. The children have not been forgotten either, and traditional activities have been organized for them in order to interest them in the Word of God and to make them love our gatherings. You also know that there would be no international convention without translators. And even if the translation routine has been perfected over the years, it still requires a lot of concentration for those who help us understand each other. And to make sure that everything goes well in terms of sound and image and makes our listening comfortable, a team is dedicated. Let us recall that when the program of this convention was established more than 3 years ago, the wish was that our Lord Jesus be evoked and praised, and several presentations glorified, each in his own way, our Lord Jesus. The Lord was presented in many aspects. What always strikes me about him is the double aspect in which he appears to us in the scriptures. On the one hand, his greatness as Logos, the Word, as Son of God, his power when we see him performing miracles, and his goodness when he heals. But on the other hand, the lowest level to which he accepted and descended by accepting to be arrested, insulted, condemned, and finally tortured on the cross. And I too wish to pay tribute to him with these concluding words. Did you or did we feel good at this convention? I think you will all answer yes. And as in all spiritual feasts where we felt good, where we felt the presence of the Lord, we are tempted to say to him, Lord, stay with us. Well, this will be the title of my talk. It is nothing exceptional, but I hope with all my heart that it will also be a tribute to our Lord Jesus. And that is why I have chosen, together with Brother Tim Krupa, to associate it with the songs of praise of this Vesper service dedicated to our Lord. For the central figure of our meditation is Jesus, and that is good. He is also the most important figure for each of us, for each Christian. And indeed, Jesus is the master builder, the realizer of God's plan. John says, well, at the very beginning of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. We are amazed by the greatness of creation, as our distant predecessors in the faith were already. Thus, David, in Psalm 8, describes with fascination the grand spectacle of creation. When I behold the heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast made, what is man that thou rememberest him? And the Son of Man, that thou art mindful of him. Thou hast made him a little lower than God, and crowned him with glory and magnificence. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put everything under his feet, the sheep and the oxen and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fishes of the sea. Everything that walks the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how beautiful is your name in all the earth. Could David have supposed that the Eternal, the ruler of the universe,
to whom he addressed this magnificent praise had near him his beloved Son, who had participated in the entire work of creation. Is it true that the name of Jesus, during this grandiose and mysterious period, when time was indefinite, remained secret, reserved, as it were, for a distant future? It is the Logos, or the Word, who, in this very ancient part of history, is the author of all that we see in the universe, of what we hear and we feel around us. So, like David, we have the ability to see the universe with our eyes. But today, modern means of observation and photography allow us to see aspects of creation with breathtaking beauty that David could not see. If we were to rewrite Psalm 8 today, what might we say? When I consider the myriad galaxies, each with billions of stars, separated by light years of distance, what is the earth that you created it with? An atmosphere, water, breathable air, continents, mountains, plants of every kind, and beauty? Yes. The earth created by our Logos is an exception in the universe. Illuminated and heated just enough by the sun. Protected by the attraction of Jupiter that keeps away almost all the asteroids that could crash into it. But this earth, lost in the universe, has been chosen to receive something that cannot be found elsewhere, and that is life. In our century, where science claims to know everything, life remains a mystery, which we have never managed to reproduce. What intelligence, so much superior to that of even our best scientists, could have created life, and through it all the plants and animals that we see. It cannot be the fruit of chance, an explanation that is now becoming increasingly ridiculous from a scientific point of view, even if it remains for most of scientists, for reasons of pride, even in this theory of chance, unfortunately, remains in the schools. No, we can only repeat the words of John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by it, by the Word. And how this should inspire us to gratitude and praise? For the power of our Lord Jesus, the Logos, is beyond imagination. But the most important creature in God's plan, in the end, is man. Many say today, the most evil of creatures. Did our Almighty Logos know that the man he was going to create would disappoint him by his disobedience? And would require him to visit him one day and die because of him? No doubt. What a gap between the man created perfect in the beginning and what he has become over time. Dominator, a persecutor, exterminator, and today even the destroyer of the planet Earth. What a gap also between the initial order given to Adam from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, to cultivate and keep the Garden of Eden, and the state of the Earth as we see it today. A few years ago, everything was possible to achieve with a progress and an increase in knowledge that never seemed to stop. Man would equal his creator and solve all technological, scientific, and social problems alone. But this time passed, and this beautiful dream showed its limits. Selfishness has not disappeared. On the contrary, medicine has not succeeded in prolonging human life, and human madness continues to breed war, terrorism, and the destruction of our planet. Oh, this does not mean that people are looking for God, and yet the amount of bad news every day begins to make the future look frightening. Brothers and sisters, we are living in these times, but we have gathered here because we know that our Lord has a plan to stop this slaughter, to save the earth that he created, and the humanity that is destroying it, this earth. Many people have already said to me, but couldn't Jesus have punished evil men once and for all, and then restored everything back to its original condition in Eden, without coming to earth and dying on the cross? The Apostle Paul already said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, that Jesus Christ, crucified, is a scandal to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Today, the death of Jesus is still an incomprehensible event for many. But we know that divine justice had to be satisfied, even if it is still difficult to make our contemporaries understand this very thought. But we need to know that divine justice had to be satisfied, even if it is still so difficult to make our contemporaries understand this thought. Moreover, this death on the cross shows all those who would one day reign with him that they should not expect to be treated any better than their Almighty Master Jesus, who suffered unjustly in an abominable way. Finally, it was intended that God should reveal himself to men through his beloved Son, better than through the prophets, and that he should announce his Father's plan to those who would be his disciples. And the Lord has explained God's plan, but not in detail. And that is fortunate. Has it occurred to us that the Bible is written in such a way that every reader of the scriptures in his or her own century could think that the kingdom of God could come in his own time? What a wonderful encouragement that has been and continues to be for the followers of Christ. Yes, the Lord spoke of the kingdom he was going to establish. But I do not want to predict events. However, each of us has made up our minds about the events that must lead us to the kingdom. And we have imagined these events, perhaps with a focus on the attack on Israel by Gog, as the prophet Ezekiel describes in chapter 38. But other unexpected events have occurred, and they have surprised us all. The fall of communism, for example, and others are still occurring, such as the COVID or the war that our brothers in Ukraine are experiencing. Events that leave us perplexed. We can say to ourselves, but I did not see the arrival of the kingdom like this. It is not like in the prophecies. The straight line we imagined leading to the kingdom becomes curved away from what we would like and seems to make us doubt the prophecies. But I think that all this is also to exercise our faith and our patience. Whatever the events that will still take place and which will undoubtedly surprise us, let us be clear that at the end of this torturous line, there is the kingdom of God, which its blessings. God has promised it and he will do it, but perhaps not in the way we would like. Also, let's avoid, it's my suspicion, predicting the immediate future and especially talking about it around others interested in the truth. Because we will lose all the credibility if it doesn't happen as we have predicted or planned. Let's be careful. It is true that we can spend a lot of time establishing chronologies, calculating times. Let's take a simple example, the harvest, from the few images where the Lord evoked it. We wanted to give it a duration, 120 years, and other durations have been put forward. Well, let's think about it. How long does it take the Lord to choose those who will be the members of his church from a population of billions of human beings? Today, computers can rank a population of billions of objects according to certain criteria in only a few minutes. This was unthinkable even a century ago. Well, the Lord is able to do it better and faster than the best computer. One Christian author has said that diversity of opinion is a richness within the church. I agree with him to a certain extent, of course. I think that in most of our assemblies, we have been able to create an atmosphere, a spirit of love that allows us to have differences of interpretation, especially on prophecies or certain details of God's plan, but that does not prevent us from working together and from having the desire to meet together again. During this convention, the speakers insisted on other important things that should occupy our minds, and that the Apostle Paul commented on extensively in his writings. Let us call it developing the fruits of the Spirit. Let us call it having in us the qualities of the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5, which a brother reminded us of. Let us call it being a true disciple of Christ. Yes, by developing the fruits of the Spirit, we will never be caught out. We will never waste our time. One of our brothers insisted on indifference, a danger of all times. It is very easy to say, I cannot solve all the problems of this world. I cannot help all those in need. But let this not hinder us from doing good. In every possible and reasonable opportunity, for we will have to give an account. Indeed, we must all appear before the tribunal of our Lord. On what will he judge us? On our knowledge of his plan, of the chronology, on our way of admitting into our midst only those who believe exactly as we do and rejecting the others, or on the love we will have shown around us. I say around us, not only to this household of faith, but to all those to whom we can show this love, and thus show that we are his disciples. For me, I am firmly convinced that this is the most difficult part, and yet the Lord will analyze it in us. He said so in Matthew chapter 25. You see, the life of the Christian is so complex, but the Lord did not say that it would be simple or easy. Didn't he use the expression to carry his cross? Let us be examples, or, as the Lord said, lights that shine so that men may see our good works. And I quote from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. From the word, the speakers have chosen praises, lessons, but also advice on our Christian life. It is a beautiful and varied bouquet of thoughts that has been offered to us. We know many of them. We study them widely in our assemblies and in our individual readings of the Bible. In short, we know. But how useful and even necessary it is to remind again, because with the best will in the world, we are leaky vessels. Also, a meeting like this convention, in spite of the language barrier, is a perfect opportunity to benefit from a Christian atmosphere in a pleasant setting, to immerse oneself for a few days in what touches only God and our Lord Jesus, to simply meditate. These conventions are also places where it is pleasant to get to know each other, to enlarge one's circle of friends. Even couples have met at these conventions. These conventions can also encourage us, and I encourage you to learn a language other than the one you speak fluently. Young people have understood this, many of them can communicate in English. But there is no age to learn and develop your memory. I also wanted to tell you that despite many efforts, it was not possible for Brother Alex from Cameroon to be physically present at this convention, and the delays in obtaining visas and the cost are such that the preparation of a trip to Europe is extremely difficult. It is the same for our brothers from India. So, for us Europeans who do not even need a visa to come to Poland, let's measure the chance we have to be here and to enjoy this fraternal communion. And brothers and sisters, at all times, let us manifest a spirit of peace. May this peace radiate from one person to touch those we meet. This is my wish. Brothers and sisters, it is a time for me to conclude these few thoughts. We have this happiness of knowing our Lord Jesus by all the good he has done for us, by all that he has revealed to us through his word, by the invitation he has given us to follow him and to join him in heaven. So let us strive to cultivate all the fruits of the Spirit to be like him. As another of our brother speakers said, let us let the Lord live in us. Let us invite him to be with us always. Let us be like the disciples of Emmaus, who, after having walked with Jesus, after having heard his explanations about the real role of the Messiah, were amazed by his words. They said to him, and I quote from Luke chapter 24, verse 29, "Stay with us, for it is getting close to evening. The day is waning." The choir will now take its place and sing four hymns to the glory of God and our Lord Jesus. The first hymn is called "Stay with Us, Lord." A verse will be sung in each language just before the last one, while the choir whispers the music. I want to end my address with the words of blessing found in Psalm 121. And now let's give way to the choir, and you can refer to your Bible if you would like to look up the words. And I will say the words, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains, from where my help comes. Help comes to me from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not allow your foot to stumble. The Lord is the one who keeps you. He will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from now on and forevermore." And the wish of Brother Tim Krupa, of all the singers as well as mine, and I am sure yours, is that the holy name of our Lord Jesus be glorified.
Mes yeux vers les montagnes. D'où me viendra le secours? Le secours me vient de l'Éternel qui a fait les cieux et la terre. Il ne permettra pas que ton pied chancelle. L'Éternel est celui qui te garde. Il gardera ton âme. L'Éternel gardera ton départ et ton arrivée.
From where will my help come? Help comes to me from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not allow your foot to stumble. The Lord is the one who keeps you. He will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in.
Thank you. nasza 20. konwencja dobiega końca. Za chwilę przejdzie do historii. Jesteśmy bardzo wdzięczni Panu Bogu za to, że pobłogosławił nam i pozwolił nam być tutaj. Mam nadzieję, że będzie Jego wolą spotkać się jeszcze w takich ucztach duchowych więcej razy. Nasza nadzieja płynie między innymi z tego, że widzimy tutaj wiele młodych osób, a nawet dzieci zaangażowanych w usługiwanie nam. Cieszymy się, gdy widzimy starszych, doświadczonych, przygotowujących następne pokolenia do kontynuowania tej miłej i ważnej pracy.
Very happy to see the next generations, to see that they are eager to continue this great work. We are sure that God sees this apostolic attitude among our teachers, those who are teaching us. We want to thank all of you for your service. Also to those whose work we don't see, we don't hear, we don't feel their service. Also to the personnel of this hotel. I can't enumerate all of these activities necessary to prepare and organize such a convention. I am sure that our Lord sees all of you and in His best way will pay you back. I want to say thank you in my own name and the name of all who took advantage, used for this great gift from your heart. Let's look again at the verse you can see above. So, brethren, let us run. Run with perseverance in the race ahead. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Brethren, remain with God. I request Brother Tim to sing with us this traditional hymn. Stay with God till we meet again. And after the hymn, we'll pray all with the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
Powstaniemy wszyscy i wspólnie pomodlimy się modlitwą Ojcze nasz. Ojcze nasz, który jesteś w niebie, święć się imię Twoje, przyjdź królestwo Twoje, bądź wola Twoja, jako w niebie, tak i na ziemi. Chleba naszego powszedniego daj nam dzisiaj i odpuść nam nasze winy, jako i my odpuszczamy naszym winowajcom. Nie opuszczaj nas w pokuszeniach, ale nas zbaw ode złego. Amen. Zostańcie z Bogiem. Nasza konwencja zakończona. Zawieźcie te uczucia, które tutaj doświadczyliście do swoich domów, do swoich rodzin, do zborów. Weźcie też kartki z życzeniami, które są podpisane tam u góry. I aż się zejdziemy znów.
Thank you, Regis. That was wonderful. We can plan.
Na chwałę Bożą.
As you were talking, we can try.